Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Such a long time since she's been trapped, and pretty long ago, with bridled resistance, she watched from a distance and turned on her heels, only to rise on her.
Bye, the true love. just gonna let you guys listen to like the very last note, just all the way to the end. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Greg Bresnitz. Darren Bresnitz is out. I think we're coming up to the 2 month mark countdown before he gets to come back and be on the show. Shout out. That was Carly Bruce, who will be playing live later today, potentially not eating pizza. Cheeseless diets. It looks good though, right? No one ever wants to go for the first piece.
It looks really
especially
nice.
The host.
You've got to be, you know, a bit nice. Show some
There's no night. First off, no one can see you.
That's
and,
true.
And no one here is going to pass judgment.
I'll just make, you know, mouth sounds into the microphone.
Gross.
Yeah.
We have a very special guest today on Snacky Tune, Aaron Fairbanks.
Very special.
Yeah.
Nice. Are you jealous?
A little bit. I'm not going to lie.
It would help me feel better if you had a slice of pizza.
Yeah, see, this is like pizza peer pressure.
You will hear the pizza the whole session. Right? And I'll just be like, why? Why did you do that?
Aaron, why don't you give people your relation to Heritage Radio Network?
Sure.
A quick history.
Well, I am currently the executive director of the Heritage Radio Network. I'm also a host of the Farm Report. And I've been hosting the show for about 2 years. I came in as the executive director this past June, a few months after the station transitioned to a nonprofit organization. So,
well, you and Jack and Joe and Patrick have been pretty instrumental in moving this station forward. So we thought it would be a good time to take a break in our regularly scheduled guests to kind of check in with the station and update our listeners on where things have been. So as everyone knows, the station started back in around 2009, and just a little ragtag bunch of hosts, but has now since gained, as you mentioned, nonprofit status and is moving forward. So let's kind of check in on 2012. What happened this year?
2012 was a big year for the network. You know, in the third year, we brought on a ton of new shows this year. After the transition to nonprofit status, we kind of, you know, there was a moment to take pause and kind of really think in a more strategic way about what the role of the station was going to be in the short and long term, and where we had strengths with regards to our content, and you know, where we had strengths with regards to our funding. So really, I personally have spent the last 6 months just kind of getting my feet under me, getting to meet all of the hosts. We do over 27 live weekly programs, so there's just a ton of stuff happening every week. We're in the studio broadcasting Sunday through Thursday. We brought on a bunch of new shows this year. Dorothy Cann Hamilton is doing the Chef's Stories, which is awesome.
By the way, her opening episode with Jacques Pepin is like one of the best episodes I've ever heard. If any aspiring chef, or if anybody wants to tell an aspiring chef what process is like, go listen to Dorothy's very first episode with Jacques Pepin, which is like insane.
Yeah, I mean, and they're all like that. I mean, she sits down with kind of the who's who of the chef and food world every week on the station, and it's really exciting to get to hear chefs give their story from, you know, hey, you graduated high school or middle school, and you know, years later, you're this famous chef, and kind of give us the story of what's happened in between. We also brought on Grace Bonney of Design Sponge. She does a show called After the Jump, which focuses on design issues. And she brings in different design personalities and looks at both the built environment, looks at food stuff, looks at sustainability, and really kind of tucks into process a lot, which is new for the station. And people are loving her. I mean, it's a hugely popular show. So we're lucky to have them. Also tucked into some more of the kind of behind the scenes restaurant stuff this year with Business of the Business, hosted by Phil Colicchio. Phil looks at, you know,
relation to Tom.
cousins to Tom. Phil's been you know, he's a practicing lawyer. He's been working in the hospitality industry for years, kind of acting as a consigliere to restaurant owners about things on the back end, you know, the legal kind of mumbo jumbo to most of us, and you know, dealing with contractors as you're building out a space, you know, looking at short and long term planning, and you know, has been kind of interesting to hear his perspective week to week, because he really talks about a different aspect of the food business than I think you get to hear too often.
Well, I wanted to ask you before we go into this, just to go back to the nonprofit, what was the process in going that? I mean, we are you know, a radio station inside two shipping containers in the back of a pizza restaurant. Not exactly where you would think that nonprofit internet radio would start. But how did, you know, where did the idea come from, and then what was the process?
Well, I have to confess, I wasn't super instrumental in the application process. I think that, you know, as time passed after Patrick started the station in 2009, and he really feeling like we were providing an educational resource, and that you know, you can apply for different types of nonprofit status, and that's what we are. We are recognized, you know, by the federal government as an organization that provides an educational resource. So I think they applied, I think, more than 1 year, and you know, there's a long kind of red tape form you fill out where you outline kind of the history and the mission of the organization. You have a small group of board members, and someone in some room behind a curtain somewhere kind of pulls a lever, yes or no, and they pulled it yes for us. So that's kind of, you know, the process as far as I know of it. You know, on the other side of things, it's been interesting kind of figuring out, you know, what that means for us, like what it allows us to do or not do that was different from before. And mostly it's like we are held to a much like higher level of transparency. You know, everything about the organization's financials is completely open, and there is, you know, a strong need to stick to the mission of providing an educational resource. As we look at bringing on new programming, it's, you know, you're kind of in this balancing act of like, are we serving that mission and how? And if somebody, you know, were to ask us, you know, do we pass kind of the sniff test for any decision that we make?
Hmm. I mean, one of the things that had changed for the station is we're allowed to now take donations, which has given rise to membership drives, which is new.
Yeah, the membership drives are new. You know, we launched this past September. We had kind of a kickoff membership party here at Roberta's, and we invited people to show their support for the network by becoming a card-carrying member. And so for $60, you can become a member of the Heritage Radio Network. We have this kind of ever-growing list of discounts and benefits that come along with membership, everything from, you know, discounts in cheese shops, brew shops, bike shops, free beer or wine at different restaurants around town. And we're working on kind of expanding that list to have benefits across the country. In addition, you know, you get to kind of the satisfaction of knowing that you're putting your money behind media that's fair, that you can trust, that's entrepreneurial, that's coming not from journalists or media professionals, but from the people actually working within the food world, which I think in part's a really different perspective.
I don't know. I feel pretty professional. All day, every day. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to play a quick song, and then we're going to get back and talk about recent coverage of Hurricane Sandy and what the network did, internships, how to get involved, and just the future of Heritage Radio Network, now .org. Used to be .com.
Yeah, .org.
We got the official .org. I'm going to play a track from Isaac Delusion's Midnight Sun EP, the title track. Saw him during CMJ. Thought it was great. We will be right back on Snacky Tunes.
Thank you ever so kindly. I'm here with my machine. Thank you.
Isaac Delusion, Midnight Sun. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. We have Aaron from HeritageRadioNetwork.org talking to us about current state of affairs for our beloved network. One of the things, obviously, that has come to define 2012 has been Hurricane Sandy and how it's affected not only the people in Brooklyn, but a number of the chefs, the number of the people that we work with. And Heritage really just kind of dove right in for coverage of the event currently in the aftermath and still kind of ongoing. Do you want to talk about, you know, what we did and how we approached it as a non-journalistic network?
Sure. Well, I mean, it was an interesting experience because we, like everyone else, were kind of getting ready for the storm. We completely deconstructed the studio, hauled everything around the corner to the office, and were expecting, you know, some fallout. And luckily, the station was not impacted at all. And so, you know, after we kind of woke up the next morning and patted ourselves on the back for being prepared, you know, we realized that we had a pretty significant role to play. We didn't do any of the regular programming for the week because of the transportation challenges. None of our hosts or guests were able to get here. And we thought, you know, as we were looking at coverage coming out of the hurricane, that no one was really talking about how the food communities was being impacted. And so we just started making calls. Talked to a lot of people in Red Hook, people out in Rockaway, people down in the Coney Island area, people in Lower Manhattan, trying to get a sense of how people were coping, what they were doing, and tried to give like a really broad perspective of similar to kind of how we do on the station, where, you know, there were some amazing bartenders in Lower Manhattan who were, you know, doing rogue ice runs so that they could serve drinks to people and kind of give some semblance of community, ad hoc community centers through these bars. Then there were other organizations and businesses that were literally out kind of, you know, shoveling rotting food and putting it in dumpsters. And we just wanted to you know, give a spot for people to kind of find information, to coordinate some relief efforts, to get a sense of what was happening. And it's been interesting. We partnered with Roberta's last weekend or 2 weekends ago to throw a relief party to raise funds for the Rockaways. I mean, one of the interesting things that, you know, we learned coming out of the storm is that financial relief for small businesses has been pretty challenging. In particular, a lot of the businesses that were hit hardest by this storm were located in flood zones. So they had, you know, little, if any, access to flood insurance. And then FEMA, well, is, you know, they've been awesome and provide long-term, like low-interest loans. They don't really have the capacity to just give people cash or manpower. So the Rockaway party that we threw with Roberta's and with Vans was geared towards raising funds to give some resources to that community and probably be part of an ongoing effort of the three organizations to continue to highlight what's happening out in that area. In particular, we have a pretty close relationship with the Rockaways, as you know, Rippers is located out one of Roberta's businesses. So it's been pretty interesting and was like a real challenge for us to kind of figure out how do we do essentially reporting, you know, via phone, getting in and getting out, and dealing with a sensitivity to some really hard topics.
And are there ongoing efforts coming from the station as well, or continuing coverage?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the amazing thing. You know, we did our best, you know, Jack and Joe and Leah and I kind of reaching out to people that we, you know, that occurred to us and then asking them questions. And so one of the things that's been so cool in the weeks afterwards is all of the hosts of the networks have had, you know, someone on to talk about the impact of Sandy. And like the station just generally, it really shows the broad scope of who we are as a network. You know, we talked with landscape architects on burning down the house, and everything from there on out, you know, almost every host had a guest and will continue to have a guest. And I think there's going to be a need to kind of continue spotlighting rehab as things occur. So we'll be going back to follow up with the people that we spoke with, especially those whose businesses were destroyed, just to see kind of, you know, what decisions they made in the aftermath and how they're doing.
So as, you know, this year comes to a close and we look towards next year, what are some of the plans that you have for the network?
Well, it's an exciting time. You know, we are kind of looking across the programming and trying to fill in some holes. I feel like we, as a network, do a really great job talking about issues in the Northeast and in particular things that are happening in the New York City area. And so it would be nice for us to kind of look at bringing things in from a little bit more of a national scope, trying to do some better coverage of things happening in the Midwest and out in the Northeast. There's a big push to focus on bringing on nutrition programming. Really interested in doing outreach to communities that are suffering from diabetes, obesity, and try and think, like, how can we use media, how can we use radio to create tools that can affect change in those communities, and what is our role? What could it be? What should it be? And so that's exciting because I don't really know what the answer is, but I've always felt like if you can kind of put your ideas out into the universe, something will come back to you.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I would say that. And then, you know, there's a lot going on in the ag world. You know, Prop 37 out in California failed this year, but was really instrumental in highlighting a lot of issues with regards to labeling of genetically engineered or modified foods. And so I think we'll continue to engage in some of those discussions, some of the fracking conversations that are happening across the U.S., and then looking in particular at land access for new farmers.
That's great. And then if anybody wants to get involved, intern, potentially pitch a show, how could they do that?
You can just shoot us an email. It's info@heritageradionetwork.org. For new shows, we have you know, a really simple format that you can fill out to give us a sense of, you know, what you're going to be doing and also kind of what you should be thinking about. And as far as interns, we're definitely looking for helping hands kind of across the board. In particular, if you have graphic design experience, we would love to get to know you better.
Yeah, I can't imagine how you would get a show now. How many people write you a week?
You know, there's a handful that come in each week, and I think that it's like most kind of creative endeavors that people kind of have this idea that it's going to be this, you know, easy thing. Like, oh, I like to talk about my grandma's spaghetti and eating, so that's a show. And
like, what's episode 10?
Exactly.
or 50.
But we do have some good stuff in the pipeline. I mean, we just debuted a show on fermentation, a real focus on home brewing. And then we are about to debut a show on hunting, which is a new topic for us, and a lot, really touches on a lot of the, you know, cooking, along with environmental, moral concerns, like really cuts across a lot of issues in food. So we're excited to kind of see how that develops.
That's great. Well, Aaron, thanks for coming and joining.
Thank you.
Newsletter, nuts and bolts. I guess if you're already listening, you probably know what the website is, but let's just say it for consistency sake of the show.
Yeah. So learn more about us. You can visit us at www.heritageradionetwork.org. You can sign up for our newsletter by plopping your email in that little box in the right-hand corner, conveniently located next to the donate button, where you can become a member. And we'll get a card out in the mail to you. And in general, just shoot us an email. Give us a call, 718-497-2128. We are here and looking to hear from you.
Amazing. Thank you, Aaron. We have a track coming up from the Body and Leaf EP, and then we have Carly Bruce live in studio talking about Escort, disco, solo records, cheeseless diets, leather shoes. That's it, right? That's a solid half an hour right there. Live on Snacky Tunes. Woo. Damn, mama.
Sweating. Make me wanna take a bite of the apple. I feel it, I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. Make me wanna take a bite of the apple. I'm stuck to you. Way too hot for me. Way too hot for me. Way too hot for me. Feel hot, feel hot, feel hot, feel hot. Way too hot for me. Way too hot for me. Way too hot for me. Feel hot, feel hot, feel hot, feel hot.
All right. That is not anything like what we're here the second half of the show, but I figured, you know, mix up a little bit. Come, scoot a little closer.
Get
a little
closer. Far away?
No, I'm just getting a little bit closer.
Hi, guys.
Carly, Chris. Chris, Carly.
Hey.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. And Dana.
Hey.
What's up? Dana gets a special shout out because she and Sarah pretty much help us book like a quarter of these shows. Thank you, girly action.
Yeah.
Carly, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, my pleasure. How's the last couple months been? Record came out.
Yeah.
How's it been?
It's been pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah.
It's like the first sort of record that's, I guess, solely mine, so that's pretty nice. It's a pretty good feeling.
You've worked with, I mean, obviously Escort and other projects before. What was the decision to do a solo project? What did you have to say that couldn't be said in the projects?
I don't know. I mean... I've always sort of had my band and my project and, you know, and then when I moved to New York, I got involved in a lot of different bands and, you know, a lot of different music. So it was just something that, like, took a little time to release on its own, you know. So it was nice. Like, I've been just working as a musician and finally got to release the record and all the tunes. So
how many years have you been here?
7 years now.
7 years.
I know. Getting old and, well, you know, almost a New Yorker or something like that.
I don't know. Getting old. I feel like we have like Peter Pan syndrome. You're just taking on more experiences.
Something like that.
More established.
Wiser.
What are some of the past projects that you've worked on in 7 years?
I mean, one of the main ones, of course, that you know about is Escort, which is a 17-piece disco band.
Well, I think we'll be in here next week in like
four parts.
No.
Oh. We can't do I was like, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I wasn't on that gig, obviously. No. Yeah, so that was one of the main ones. We've been doing a lot of touring, and they've put out a couple of LPs over the last little while. So it's,
as we were talking before, you know, if you haven't seen Escort, it really is a 17-piece live disco who kind of really stuck to the guns of, well, we're traveling as it's all or nothing. And it's amazing when bands could do what was that band? I'm from Barcelona. It's like, it was like 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
That was totally insane as well. It's like traveling.
It's a lot of people. You know, Eugene and Dan do an amazing job of making sure everyone's in the right place at the right time, you know, with the right gear most of the time. You know, we do what we can. So it's it's a lot of people, but it's a lot of fun.
And how long have you been with them?
About 5 or 6 years now since they pretty much started. I think the first gig I ever played was at PS1 with them years and years ago.
That was your first gig in the States?
Oh, no, with Escort.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, wow, that's quite the
quite the
opening.
It's quite the introduction. Yeah, no, it's a, you know, that's a band that it's been really nice to see that sort of flip over and turn into something that they can, you know, realistically like take on the road and do live shows with it. You know, it started as a studio project and kind of evolved from there, but you know, Eugene and I have worked a lot together, and that kind of just, you know, we all kind of get together and talk about writing the music, and it's mostly their brainchild, and it's a big sort of bunch of people that get in there and like have a good time and make it a live thing, you know.
So have you found time from all your side projects to kind of carve out time for your own record and you know, make sure like that gets the proper attention?
It's been hard. I mean, you really do get caught up in doing lots of cool stuff in New York, which is, you know, part of the joy of being in a city like this. So different from Australia. It's like so much more relaxed, you know. But it's taken a little while. Like, it was a step-by-step process. It was just, you know, as much money as I had that I could put into it. So every step of the way was just reliant on, you know, getting that bit done and then working out the next step and then doing that. So it took a couple of years since we started recording for it to be finished, you know.
Yeah. And Chris, how are you in the picture?
Well, I guess Carly and I probably met through a mutual friend. I don't know, God, something like 5 years ago, years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess immediately I've just, you know, been playing together pretty regularly from then. And, you know, I write a good bit of music myself, and I've been lucky to have her be a big part of my group as well. And it's been kind of a...
Shout out your group.
It's called Things I Wonder.
It's a good name.
And it's amazing.
That's a really good name.
That's actually, I stole that from a Shags tune.
Oh, no one needs to know that.
Well, it's okay, you know. Yeah. We can give the Shags a shout.
Nice reference.
But yeah, I guess, you know, coming from a world of, I mean, both, you know, both Carly and I have played a good bit of jazz music in our past and all different kinds of music. And, you know, coming from a place where a lot of the musical relationships can be very businesslike, it's been a very refreshing thing to have something where you've got people who are actually on the same page, invested in trying to make something move forward. You know, everybody wants a band, and you know, we've been very lucky to have that sort of experience over these years. So,
and a lot of good people, you know.
Yeah, a lot of good people also involved, and also, you know, so really nice to have this music coming out here, because it is something that we've both been living with for a good bit of time.
Why don't we hear a song from the record?
Sure.
What are you gonna play?
Title track.
Sure.
Title track.
It's just paperback level.
Chapter on the way you cut your eyes, the cruelest form of torture, one that never gives you up, and one that never tattooed on your finger, caught up in your music like a tightly wound cassette, a mixtape or a murder, something we were meant to kill but haven't done as yet. And it's a beautiful night for a dream, and your love is such a pretty light to be seen in. So my dear, won't you stay forever? 'Cause this night could make a good story. Secondhand disorder, thrifting through the diamonds for the title that I like. And though I can't afford her, I'm parting with my pennies just enough to have you back. And it's a beautiful night for a dream, and your love is such a pretty light to be seen in. So my dear, won't you stay forever? 'Cause this night could make a good story. Tell me it's forever. You're so well put together from beginning to end. Judging by your cover, handsome paperback lover, you still choose. You still choose to pretend. You still choose. us to return. Now I know you remember everything so clearly from the night you stole my heart. And living without feeling is problematic only at the time you want to start. And it's a beautiful night for a dream. And your love is such a pretty light to be seen in. So my dear, won't you stay forever? 'Cause this night could make a good story. Oh, a beautiful night for a dream. And your love is such a pretty light to be seen in. So my dear, so mighty. So mighty. So mighty.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Really great. Very intimate.
Very intimate.
Yeah, I know we should have gotten closer. Man, there's a stool next to you. I could have just sat.
I was going to say, I could probably get closer.
Yeah. I would have said that you're probably one of the first people we've had on the show that's played Carnegie Hall.
Aww.
So what was that about?
I've been pretty lucky, I'm not going to lie. When I first moved to New York, you were asking before if PS1 was the first gig I ever played. It probably was Carnegie Hall, and I know that sounds like, oh, she thinks she's so great, but I literally called.
I actually brought it up, so you can put that on me. I was the one that asked about it. If you had been like, Carnegie Hall, you're like, wow, we haven't even started the interview, it'd be one thing, but that's the whole beauty of this, that I get to brag about you, and you go, oh, well, you know. If I must talk about it. Which
no,
you must.
I mean, I was pretty chuffed, I'm not going to lie. Like, I called my mom in Australia. I was like, Mom, guess what? She's like, oh my God, what have you done?
Now what?
And I was like, oh no, it's really good. I'm really lucky. I'm playing Carnegie Hall. And she's like, oh good. So now you can come home, you know, like you've made it. So now you can just jump on a plane and come back to Australia.
Oh no, that's the beginning.
I was like, no, this is really exciting. You know, and I played with, I think Matt Wilson and his band Arts and Crafts. He's a jazz drummer and his band, pretty early on in my stay, which was totally lovely.
How did that happen, and how did that not go like, okay, now what?
Right. I don't know. I don't even know how I fell into it. I think it's just, you know, the New York scene, I guess. People, one person.
There's so many angry
else,
musicians right now who are like, oh yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Yeah, I know. It was something like that. But no, it was really fun. But we also, Chris and I played there just recently. We're part of a program for children that Carnegie Hall operates, and it's this amazing program, you know, where a syllabus goes out into a lot of schools. I think the kids are between like 6 and 8, I'd say. And so they learn about all different kinds of music. So Chris and I were helping out and we're sort of representing jazz music. So we recorded some music for the syllabus and all the kids learn it, and then it culminates in a big concert at Carnegie where all the kids come along and like get to meet everyone who they've learned about, and they know all the songs, and it's really cool.
What jazz songs did you teach them?
I think we sang Blue Skies.
There was Don't Mean a Thing.
If it ain't got that swing. Oh, like awesome. Pretty like standard tunes for kids that they, you know, we worked with Carnegie a lot on like working out the repertoire and things that the kids could be part of and like do actions to. It's a pretty hands-on.
What I will say is that for all the shows that we've done, I don't think I've ever seen anybody go as crazy for Carly Brewster as 6-year-old girls.
Like, I'm really digging that. They had like,
Michael Jackson screaming sort of
vibe. It's insane. And like
single
it's
digit
so
demographic, like, you're kind of winning.
It's adorable. Yeah, it's really like something else. I've ever seen. Yeah. It's
what,
really cool.
Do either of you have like a preferred jazz standard that you like to play or throw into a show?
That would be none.
Or a jazz cover. Maybe not a standard, but like a cover.
I don't know. I feel like we've both done a lot of gigs playing a lot of jazz standards over the years, so we don't really tend to like play them on our shows so much anymore. I mean, we still play a lot of jazz. I mean, Chris's group is, you know, comes from a lot of jazz, a lot of material in general, you know, so I guess it's all sort of there in some sort of way, but I don't really pull out standards as often as
we've got our own. I mean, I guess one thing, from playing as much jazz as we had in the past and both being people who really identify with being people who write music, then I think when we're given the opportunity to be playing our original music, the last thing we really want to be doing is doing anything other than that.
Right, if you have like a choice between one of your own or a song you've probably played on the up a million times.
I mean, at a point in time, at least for me, it just, the difference between playing a song that was coming right from yourself versus the song that, you know, meant something very deeply to others over various points in time, the connection was just different, and you kind of get addicted to the feeling of when it's that immediacy, you know, at least for me.
I mean, there's so many beautiful songs, too, from that era, you know. And I think part of the reason, too, that I'm not sure for Chris, but for myself, that, you know, why I started writing music, like, it kind of always been something that I did. I grew up playing saxophone and instruments as a kid, and I started singing jazz, and suddenly when you sing a song that everybody has sung for, you know, years and years before you, and everyone's done a version of every song that you sing, you know, everyone has an opinion on how that's supposed to go.
Right.
So at a point it's like, okay, cool, I'm going to write something that, like,
yeah,
I can sing
no
it however
one's interpreted
I want,
before.
You know? Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a different animal or something.
Oh. Okay. Well, why don't we have another song?
Sure.
Something that is not open to interpretation.
And something that's not 6 minutes long. We'll play.
That's fine. This is totally fine.
Sorry about that, guys.
No apologies.
This is kind of, I guess this is the most sort of jazzy of the tunes that we play.
No, this song is not about you. It'll never be about you. Why should it be? Do you write about me? So the moon is of no use now. May it fall and kill the old cow that jumps merrily. The jump. No more strolls down Lover's Lane. His misery loves company, and I see rain. So I'll never dream of autumn. Or a song of love that gaily sings through the trees, that sings through the trees. Little ballad, dear, stop playing. Pretty serenade, start fading, and happy I'll be. La 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 No more strolls down Lover's Lane. 'Cause misery loves company, and I see rain. I know the song is not about you. It'll never be about you. Why should it be? Do you write about me? So I'm sorry, my dear lover, 'cause I'll never write another. Another song about love.
Awesome.
That's Chris.
That was really nice. When you're writing a song, when do you feel it's appropriate to throw in like a la-di-da or a la-la-la?
That one had nowhere else to go. You know, and by that when we play this on gigs, sometimes it's like, by that stage in the game, everyone kind of knows how it goes. It's kind of a bit of a ditty, so people tend to raise their glasses and sing along.
It's just amazing to me just from like all the songs where you just like, it feels from like from the beginning of time when like, not like nonsensical, but we'll say nonsensical phrases just like naturally go there.
It always works.
It's like, who knows if it's from nursery rhymes or from just the general collective knowledge of music, but it's like, there could be nothing else there but that. And if it wasn't there, it would feel weird.
It's really funny because this song originally had a terrible whistle that I did on the original demo. I'm the world's worst whistler,
it wasn't bad.
I mean, people think it's endearing. I mean, there's a kind of endearing whistle on the record that had, I mean, for the, when it came around to actually recording it and being like, what are we going to put in this middle bit? Because, you know, there's no beer around and there's no, I don't know, I don't have other people to be here right now. So, you know, so it turned into a whistle, which is nice. I mean, because it came from that, so it turned back around, you know. Genius.
No, I know, but it. Well, I mean,
it's kind of really bad.
No, but I don't know. I mean, I think you can say something about like it's not genius, but it's like very simple and very innate that you could never have seen you play before, and you find yourself just like singing along,
hopefully,
like a quarter of the way through when you get into that first round. I pretty much know the notes,
right,
and pick them out, and
yeah, take a good guess, you know. It's
drink a beer, put an arm around somebody,
yeah,
sway a little bit. A little bit of swaying.
It's bringing people together, you know.
Yeah.
One la-di-da at a time.
So what's next? What's coming up?
For
you, for Escort. Holidays. Shout out to moms.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Yeah.
They'll have to stream it on that.
We're a very family-friendly show here.
On their new wireless, not the old wireless.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Escort's going to Portugal this week. Lisbon and Barcelona, I think we're playing, which would be really amazing. I actually haven't been to either of those places, so I'm pretty stoked on that. And then hopefully, I mean, Chris and I and the band, if we can in the new year, we'll do a little bit of a tour around the US, trying to play some shows live and get the whole band on the road. That's kind of the goal.
How many people are in the band?
Just four of us. Yeah. So a big van.
Yeah.
You know.
Where's the rest of the band right now?
Right now, I don't know, actually. Studios around the countryside. And Derek is, I don't know what Derek's doing. He's been on the road a lot. So when everyone's in town,
he's eating pizza. And so
yeah, he's just surprised. Outside. He's like waving. Yeah.
Brian's probably having a nice meal somewhere.
Probably. He's quite the foodie, isn't he?
He might listen to this podcast.
Oh, really?
He's a fancy gent.
What do you want to guess that he's eating right now and see if he can get it right?
I'd say it's something. Well, this is vague. I would say something very spicy or something very sweet.
Or he does seem to post those pictures of him eating ice cream sandwiches.
Well, that would fall into the sweet
category. I guess so. Yeah.
So that's actually pretty broad.
That's
a very broad.
Jeez,
well, yeah, but you know, very spicy, very sweet.
But
if
he was eating like a jalapeno ice cream sandwich, you would just be
spot on.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, before we get one more song, where are the nuts and bolts? Where can people find you? Buy the record?
Yeah.
Send you emails.
All that.
Send you their la-di-da rendition.
their whistle solos to replace mine. We're, you know, all the regular places on the internet. We have a Bandcamp site and, you know, Facebook and all that stuff, but a website, just www.carlybruce.com. And it's spelt funny.
Yeah, want to spell it?
It's spelled K-A-R-L-I-E. So it's Carly, I guess.
Your accent just totally disappeared.
Isn't that weird? It's so weird. Yeah. CarlyBruce.com if you want to find out some more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have any press inquiries, you can just holler at Dana as well. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dana.
Thanks, Dana.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carly.
All right. Well, Chris, and your band information?
At ChrisParello.com. So that's C-H-R-I-S Parello, P-A-R-R-E-L-L-O.
Two L's.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, so what are you going to take us out with?
Well, we're going to play a song that Chris and I wrote together. We play a lot of music, as you know, so we're going to do one that's...
I haven't noticed.
Yeah. That's right. The two of us.
All right, well, thanks for tuning to Snacky Tunes, and we will be back next week with another episode.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, wait.
You got what you need?
Yeah. Okay. Ready?
Yeah, you got it.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.